something falls out and hits you on the foot and you think, what's that? And you look at it, and lo and behold, it's what you've lost, given up on a while before. And I just wondered if the children might like to draw something that you've lost. Maybe you've not found it again, or maybe you have found it again. Doesn't matter which. But don't worry if you can't think of anything. Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. When he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, let us go back to Judea. It's funny how we respond to things, isn't it? If I lose something, I'm generally a bit upset about it. Especially if I think, that's it, I'm not going to find it again, it's gone. Generally, I don't try and wait for a few days to bother looking for it. I try and find it there and then. And then start retracing your steps back to where I've been the last couple of days. Until I think I remember where it is, and then I find out it's not there at all. So, and Christine will often remind me, what were you doing when you lost it? Them keys. What were you doing? Where was you? Was you in the car? Was you, you know? And so it goes on, and sometimes you don't find things till much later. What would have been your response when you lost something? Whether it was a pen, a bunch of keys, a watch, a ring, money, that's even worse, money. What's your response? Oh, you feel absolutely gutted, don't you? I know I did. I do.
Show me where it is.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, oh, glasses, right, yeah. Yeah. I don't lose them because I haven't got them, but Christine likes losing glasses as well. Don't you? No. She's got a set on at the moment, but I don't know how far back they go, but anyway, she can see a bit. So Jesus' response seems to be very strange. Not right, let's drop everything and go, but I will wait here a couple of days. And then he had to walk to Bethany, to where they were. He had another response as well. And I'll come to that in a minute. But we see here how Jesus loved this particular family. And God is sometimes thought of, especially by the Greeks, as being not really interested in humans, not really bothered what happens to us. But Jesus shows in a wonderful picture of his love that he shows that he really cared about this family. So much so that they sent him a message and said, your friend Lazarus is sick. They didn't actually ask him to come and heal him, but you can imagine what their thoughts were. And that was their response. Our response when somebody's ill in our family, or in our church family even, as well as our own family, is we want them to get better. We want the best for them. We don't want them to be ill and suffer. So he said, let's go back to Judea. But Rabbi, they said, a short while ago, the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you are going back. Jesus was at risk. In the previous chapter, Jesus caused some conflict by saying that he knew the Father. So much so that they picked up stones to stone him. And yet he said to them, I've shown you my good many good works. For which of these are you going to stone me? And they said, not for that, but because you, a mere man, claim to be God. They knew what he told them. He told them that his Father in heaven, about his relationship with him. And they couldn't stand that. So Jesus answered his disciples. And said, are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light. And after he had said this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up. Jesus has used this fallen asleep business before, and it's another word, a euphemism, if you like, for they passed away. And it's just a polite way of saying it, isn't it, sometimes? Lazarus is a Greek name, but in Hebrew it's Eleazar, and nothing significant about that, just telling you for your information, if you like. And it means God has helped. And it's strange that this Gospel of John's is the only one to record this significant, really, incident. So you might well ask, well, why didn't the other three record it? Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Some have suggested, well, they didn't want to upset the Jews, because Lazarus was still alive when this was written. So they didn't want to upset the Jews. That's one theory. And another was that Peter wasn't present. So that's just a theory. And so it's interesting that it's only written in one gospel, the Gospel of John. Charles Spurgeon said, the love of Jesus does not separate us from the common necessities or infirmities of life, of human life. Men of God are still men. And here was Lazarus, clearly loved by Jesus, and he loved Jesus himself. The whole family did. Just a bit later, verse 17, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. But Mary, curiously, stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? And I think that's a good question for us all. Do you believe this? Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? And even though we may pass away physically, whoever lives by believing in me will never die. So do you believe this? Good. Lots of smiling faces and nods. That's what I like. Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God who is come into the world. After she'd said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. I like Mary's response. Straight away, she was up there, had to be with Jesus. When she knew that he'd called her especially, she got up. There was no waiting around with all the ones that were there mourning and weeping and wailing. She was gone. And they assumed that she'd gone to the grave to weep. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And that's exactly the same phrase that Martha had said to him. And when he saw her weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. And then the shortest verse in the New Testament, which is Jesus wept. It's okay to be upset when people pass on that are close to us, that are not close to us, but it's okay to have a response like that. That was Jesus' second response. He wept. Here was someone who deeply cared, and it shows us that he cares for us in that same way too. Then the Jews who were there said, oh, look, see how much he loved him. Some of them said, couldn't he who opened the blind man have kept this man from dying? A strange kind of question. And I suppose the answer is, yes, he could, obviously. Jesus, when it says Jesus wept, it describes in this chapter two kinds of weeping. One was the loud wailing, and some of them were paid mourners, and that's what they did in the Middle East and probably still do. They paid them to weep, and it was very loud. But when it says Jesus wept, a different word's used, and it means quietly weeping. So he was in control of his emotion. He was in control. And this deeply moved phrase, Jesus once more deeply moved, came to the tomb and told them to take away. It was kind of deeply moved, but there was anger with it as well. It doesn't say that, but that's what the phrase implies. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there's a bad odour. And I think she assumed possibly that he just wanted a peek at his friend. Maybe you'd want a peek at your friend and, you know, the last time kind of thing. But little did she know what was to follow. Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? I forgot to mention this bit about weeping. I'm going back to that again. But Abraham wept when he buried Sarah, his wife. Jacob wept when he wrestled with an angel. David and Jonathan wept together. King Hezekiah wept over his sickness. King Josiah wept over the sin of the entire nation. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. And Jesus showed his humanity by weeping on this occasion. They took away the stone. Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And what must have been the strangest sight to see this man shuffling like this out of his tomb. And some commentators say, well, if Jesus hadn't have said, Lazarus, come out, they'd have all come out. So that's how powerful the Son of God is. And his hands and feet were still wrapped up and strips of linen. And he could have miraculously caused all these strips of linen to fall off him, but did he know? He wanted some help, so he asked the humans there to take all the grave clothes off him and let him go. So there is work for us to do. There is work Jesus wants us to do. Sometimes it's a bit obvious, and sometimes we need prompting to do it. So the Jewish response was not so good. It was reported to them what Jesus had done, and they said, well, this can't go on. He's healing people. People are believing in him because of it. We can't have this going on. So they plotted to kill him, not just him, but Lazarus as well, who he just raised from the dead. But my point this morning is to come back to that question of do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus will raise us up on the last day? And that's a real question for real people, who most of us are getting on a bit. And it really demands a real response from our hearts. Do we believe? And it's easy to nod and say yes. But do we really believe? So I'm just going to pray now as we close this.